Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. We're getting a lot of fog in Hawaii right now.
Oh,
it's really hitting hard. Some people seem like not to bother, and for me, it really bothers me. So
yeah.
My voice is going to sound a little bit like a frog. But the show must go on, and I'm okay, and I can do it, but I just sound horrible. So I'm sorry for anybody listening to this. If I sound like a man, I apologize. But at least I can still speak, right? I can speak.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. This is
that
like,
fog is brutal. I know. It can be very brutal. And then, having grown up in L.A., it really – it's not smog, it's fog, but it's sort of the same thing. It's yucky. Isn't it?
It's really yucky, you know, and it's funny because some people it doesn't faze at all, and other people it really bothers. And I guess if you already have allergies, you know, it just piggybacks on it. So, yeah, I wish it would go away. I was saying yesterday to somebody, I think we're making Miss Pelly, Pelly very mad. There's something going on here because it just keeps coming out. But we'll be fine today and go through it. So I guess you're probably enjoying the pool over there and enjoying your summer coming in.
Yeah, Chico is warming up and got the pool clean, and you know, mostly right now though, it's kind of in that twilight zone where it's not super hot, so the water is still pretty cold. It's, you know, Chico's summers get to be 100, you know, 100 plus most of the summer. So
I'm a wimp when it comes to warm water. I mean, cold water, I can't get in cold water, but. So you
yeah.
just dive right in, huh?
Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the 100-plus days, and
then I'll be
jumping in.
They have those. If you don't have a heater, I think they have those tops you can put over it that heat it quicker. It's like a silver kind of top. I don't know how that works with your puppy, though. Puppy might try to jump on that or something. I don't know. But,
that's the problem with the dog. Yeah,
you still have your puppy, right? Because I know that it's your daughter's puppy, right? So I don't know if she's there or not.
She's a little over a year old, and she's... So I guess she's still a puppy, but she's a lab, so she's pretty big now. And
they're beautiful.
But yeah,
she's gorgeous.
Precious, man. I honestly, it's our first lab we've ever had, and what an amazing dog. Temperament wise, you know, can be very chill at home, but boy, you get her out in the park with a tennis ball, and she's a maniac retriever, you know, and.
I had a lab retriever, Champion was his name, and he was wonderful until for about 12 years, almost 12. He made it to almost 12, and wonderful, they're great dogs, wonderful dogs. So today, the first half of our show is 7 tips on selling your home, and it's basically about 7 tips to prepare to sell your home and how to stage it, basically, is what we're going to go over. You know, because the way we live in a home, as we'll get into, and the way we sell are two different things. Now, you know, for most people, I'm not saying there aren't some people that have their home in tip-top shape at every second of the day, but for most people, the way we live in the house and the way we sell are different. And so we're going to go through that, and then you have a great guest coming in on the second half.
Yeah, Dr. Lynn Wicker is going to be joining us, and she is the... director of the Florida State University Schools, Inc. in Florida, and they're basically They are basically, I'm trying to think, sort of like charter schools, I guess you could say. But they are, so they're, you know, they're elementary through like high school, but they're tied in and under the Florida State University kind of umbrella. So she's the director of that, and she's been in, you know,
great.
In education for 27 years. And she wrote a book. Actually, it's coming out very, very soon. It's called Raising Kids That Succeed. And then the subtitle is How to Help Your Kids Overcome Life's Limitations and Think Their Way to Lifelong Successes. And, you know, kind of a long title, subtitle, but I'll tell you what, very true. I read the manuscript, and honestly, it's about what you and I talk about week in and week out, you know, overcoming self-limiting beliefs. And really the best thing a parent can do is model that process for their kids. So she, even though it's, you know, sort of about your kids, quote unquote, it's really about helping parents overcome the self-limiting beliefs that even, you know, parents have. So anyway, it's a very, very good book, and I'm excited to have her. She's one of our Pono Radio hosts, and just a great person.
I remember
person.
Hearing her before. Absolutely wonderful
yeah.
what she's done. Yeah, she's been through a lot, and she's really she can actually tell everybody firsthand how to, why it works, et cetera. Wonderful.
In the trenches with the kids, 27 years.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good, looking forward to that. And, awesome.
So she'll be standing by.
No, that's very good. Well, just because I sound terrible, I think it's still okay because I can still do this and do the
thing. Oh, yeah.
Because it's just one of those things. Some people have different voices, and my voice usually doesn't sound like this, but it's okay. So, yeah. Seven tips to sell your house. And I know many people are probably, you know, listening now and listening later on our archives are going to say, well, I've watched this show and I've watched that show and I've read books and I already know what to do, and that's wonderful, you know. And but one of the biggest things that happens is we live in our home with our own personality, as we should. We should decorate our home the way we like it and live in it the way we want to live in it, because that's our own privacy, our own space, our own haven. So it definitely should fit our needs, not somebody else's needs. So when it comes to selling, that can create a problem because you want to make things as neutral as possible so that the person coming in to buy, unless, you know, there's chances sometimes they're exactly like you are and their deck decor is like yours and they just fall in love and they buy it. But 9 times out of 10, they really have their own personalities and bring their own wants and needs to the table. So the less that you have your personality in the home, the better. Actually. And that's a toughie because a lot of people think, well, the way I like it is the way everybody else likes it. So it's, you know, not necessarily when you live in your house, you know, say you're buying your house now and you're living in your house and you're going to want to sell it 7 years from now, don't start doing these things now because it's not necessary, right, at all until you're ready to sell it, because then you're not going to be comfortable. Actually, studies show the more neutral you have the house, where off-white coloring on the painting, less wallpaper, less coloring, the more neutral, the better it is, because someone's going to come in and then they can put their coloring in. So tip number one is to neutralize the decor. So if you have children and you have, you know, 4 or 5 different bedrooms, 3 different bedrooms, and there's wallpaper on one and there's psychedelic paints on another, or the kids have, you know, a bunch of posters, and have put the stars and different things on the walls, rainbows, et cetera, it's better to, the first thing to do, if you're trying to say, what can we do? We don't have a lot of money maybe to put on decks, additions. You and I had a show a few weeks ago about some of the improvements you could do, right, to get more value out of your home when you sell it, and some that are not going to give you more value. Well, these are things that are not going to be that costly to do that can make a difference in selling your home. And that I highly recommend. So neutralizing it and just painting everything off-white is the best thing to do. Take down the wallpaper if you can. You can buy this. You can rent the steamers and take it down. And now, you may be in a situation where you can't, or it's too much work and you're just going to give somebody credit and you don't want to do it. We're not telling you that what you have to do or what must be done. We're just giving you ideas and pointers on what really helps. Because when you walk in and their focal point is going to be to all these different colors and different rooms, the more neutral, the better. it's soft. They can kind of decide what they're going to want to do with their you know, instead of them focusing. You know, I heard something yesterday, and it's totally off subject to this, but it makes the point. Talks I was listening to when I was in the car, they were talking about appearance and images, and, you know, with when you're speaking in training, and if you're going to do radio or TV, you must be dressed certain colors and certain, you know, for radio or well, now radio doesn't matter. I mean, TV productions, how you're going to be dressed a certain way for print versus camera, TV, et cetera, light colors, dark colors. You would know a lot of that, Randy, with what you've done for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And how that makes a difference in the way you're going to look and the way you're going to present, right? And they were talking about with your photos and your brochures and your print and your marketing and your whatever, please use a pretty updated photo because everybody, and we've all been guilty. I mean, I've been guilty of using one for 10 years before, you know, on some things. And they said the person comes and they meet you and they start to forget. They're like, they don't really hear your name or what you're first saying because they're looking at you going, is that really the person that I saw and who I was, you know, whatever. So it kind of distracts the person. So even though that's off subject on what we're talking about, it gives you the same, you know, the gist of it distracts the person. So when they walk in your house, it's better to be neutral rather than the beautiful, the mauve wall over here and maybe a green wall here, and they walk in the bedrooms and there's psychedelic and rainbows and all the stuff that, you know, for the kids might be so much fun, right? So that's the first thing you want to do that's really huge to kind of get it, because so that the people come in and they're looking at the layout, they're looking at the rooms, they're picturing their things in there. If they can't get past all these other items, it's hard to do that. And second item is to declutter, and lots of people get into, they may have different hobbies. I sold a house years and years ago that the woman was into pigs, you know, and she liked collecting little pig things. Like, so she had everywhere, I mean, the house was beautiful, and it was a very high-end home, very gorgeous, meticulous, beautiful furniture, beautiful decor, paintings, etc. But everywhere you look, she had pigs. She had little ceramic pigs, little ornament pigs, little stuffed pigs, picture pigs. The things on the refrigerator were pigs. You know, she collected pigs, you know. And that needed to come out, you know, that's kind of stuff. And people do have different collections, and you'll see. So number two, if you're going to do, you know, hobbies, clear out your hobbies. Clear out what you have, you know, as far as that goes. then you want
so generic. Generic is the best, so that people can use their own imagination as to how they would use a room, right?
Exactly. Less is better. Less is much better, because you want them to have their personality and try to place things. And it's hard to place things if there's so much of everything else in there, you know. Mm. Like, I've sold so many houses over the years that I can strip it. I really could care. I could walk into a place and it could look like a dump and it could look like whatever, and I can envision, you know, the whole place torn down and how you're redoing it and all this kind of things, because the location would be most important. But most people aren't going to be able to do that because they're not used to. I can do it because I've seen so many over and over and over and over and over, you know. And I can skip step to something, you know, and visualize it. But a lot of people aren't going to do that, and it can really cut down on, you know, somebody coming in saying, yeah, we'll take this and we'll take that one. Plus, there may be many other homes on the market, and say another neighbor did it, and you didn't do it, and you're both at the same price, they might go, oh, I'm going to pick the other one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just nice to, these are steps to do it. Also, when you want to clear out your clutter, so you know you're moving, and we all have things in our closets and clothes you haven't worn for years, you know, knickknacks, things that you haven't used for years that you're probably going to give away and not take with you to the next home. Clear it out. Start boxing it up. Clear it out. Put it in the attic. Put it in the garage. Get rid of it. Donate it. It's wonderful to donate because, you know, everybody takes donations. You can have a yard sale. People love to do yard sales.
Mm-hmm.
Clear it out. Get rid of it now. Don't say, well, we're going to wait till we have a sale and then we're going to start packing. Go ahead and start packing now. So get rid of all of it. And then when you go through your closets, you can rearrange your closets to organize them so they look a lot neater. And again, get rid of the clothes you don't need. You're going to need extra space in there. Then you're going to have clothes that you know you're going to need, but maybe you're not going to need right now this time of year, depending on where you live, if it's winter or summer or whatever. So some people do this automatically and some don't. If it's summer, box up all your winter stuff. If you're putting the house in the market now, box up all your winter sweaters, clothes, everything. Get the boxes at Home Depot or, you know, the wardrobe boxes. They have the type also that you can buy that lay under the bed, you know, that aren't just standing up. So you could actually box those up and then slide them under your bed. Nobody's going to see them, right? What you just did was cleared it out and put them elsewhere where you're still going to use them later, but they're going to, it's going to show a lot better. So, yeah, just little things you can do that you would think that, you know, that really do make a difference. And and that are easy to do. It's not going to, there's so many ways to, we could do another show on that, but how to fit things into small spaces and how to make do of other small spaces, et cetera. There's so many ways to do that. So you can clear out the color, clear out the clutter and put everything away.
Mm-hmm.
You want to clean. I mean, bring in a professional cleaner, clean the windows, clean the baseboards, clean the screens, get everything as pristine clean as possible. And a lot of people are going to say, well, that's a no-brainer. Of course we're going to do that. But not everybody does. Not everybody thinks about that. Like I said, the way we live in a house and the way we sell it are two different things.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's
so true.
Isn't it so true? I mean, you know, and you want to be comfortable. Everybody wants to be able to put stuff around or read their books and have everything laying out. Or, you know, I always end up having papers and someplace out, and it's like, I know where everything is on that desk. Don't touch my desk, but I know where it is. You know, and it's you know, so that's
reminds me of similar. I mean, when you're selling anything like that, because it's very similar. I was thinking about this the other day. I was vacuuming out my truck, and I was thinking about it because when you're going to sell a truck or a vehicle, you really vacuum really well, you know?
Right.
And it's like, because you're presenting it to be sold as opposed to, I'll just kind of vacuum it a little bit. Like you say, so to your point, you know, we do. We live in our homes and our vehicles, I guess, if you will, much differently than if, you know, then we sell them, and it's a whole different ballgame because you're trying to look at it as, you know, from a potential buyer's standpoint. And you know, and I love what you said about that, about less is more, because I think a lot of people, you know, think that their cool stuff, that people are going to like that, and somehow it's going to enhance the sale, when in fact you really want folks to just you know, imagine how they would use the space. And that's really, really helpful, man.
It's little things that you wouldn't think of, and you think it doesn't matter, or you think, well, forget it. If they don't like it, let them buy another house. I mean, that's what some people say, and it's like, come on, you know, when you think about it, when you go to sell your house, what do you want to do? You want to sell it as quickly as possible, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unless sometimes somebody's trying to just see if they'll get the price and somebody will pay more and they can just wait, but not likely. You know, or they don't have to move. But most people are going to want to sell it as quickly as possible. It's uncomfortable when you put your house on the market because you have to open it up to people at all different hours. You can schedule things just at certain times, but if they're out-of-town people, they're going to want to come in anytime. And you want to have as many showings as possible. So why not take these extra steps and put up with it, bin it, grear it, you know, deal with it for 6 weeks instead of 6 months because you're taking the time to make it, stage it. Right?
Yeah.
And make it presentable. When you're showing your house, you should turn all the lights on, every light in the house. Sometimes people think, well, I only want to put this one on and it gives us this, you know, it feeling or this whatever. No, turn on every single light in the house. Very, very important. More light the better. You can't have too much light in your house when you're showing your house. So we also then on the inside, you're going to clean. You're going to empty it out, clear out the clutter. When you have showings, it's a good idea to have baked bread smell, or you can just boil little cinnamon sticks on the stove just for a couple minutes, or you can get those fresheners. You don't want to be too strong with fresheners where it just really, like, makes people start sneezing type of fresheners, right? I can relate to that right now because I wouldn't want one around me right now. But you know, you kind of like, get the, you know, the cinnamon sticks work beautifully, baked bread, and then they have different oils, different vanilla extract, things that just give that kind of scent through the house. You know, and then there's different cuisines for different people coming through and stuff. So, but it's nice to have like a nice aroma, feeling a little bit homey coming through the house. This is on the inside, and then you want to kind of stage it and position some of the furniture maybe so that it looks less is more. You know, you may have your furniture all bunched in on the living room on one side of one wall, but maybe you could spread it out a little bit and just kind of step back, look at your room and say, what doesn't flow the way we want it to flow right now, and try to do it that way. And that helps a lot. So then we get out to the outside of the house, and on the outside of the house, the first thing you want to do is walk across the street and look at your house. When you walk across the street and look at your house, you're going to see, oh my gosh, there's leaves in the gutter. Wait a minute, that shrubbery is crooked there, or it's not trimmed right. It's like sticking out all goofy, you know, like all different edges.
Yeah.
Or maybe that piece of the curb is messed up, or the step is broken on that one side. You can really look when you stand across the street and just kind of take an overview. Those things to fix, and that aren't going to be that much money. If it's just trimming so it looks better, get your leaves cleared out of the gutter. You know, the concrete may be a different issue, or if you have a messed up step. But stand over there and look, and look at the curb appeal. And you'd be amazed that things we're talking about sound so simple, but how many people never do it, never even bother.
Yeah.
You know, on the outside, you can spruce up the front yard, spruce up the backyard, look at the fencing, see if there's anything, you know, that needs to be refixed, recaulked, tightened up, et cetera. Because little tiny things, when they're coming through and they're looking at it and they see small things broken, then they start to think what big things are broken, you know. And everything that we've just talked about today doesn't cost you hardly any money other than buying the paint. And the paint, you could probably put it in your budget, you know, to pick it up and get a good deal and even paint yourself. You don't necessarily have to hire a painter. And if you know you're going to be selling, you could just do one room at a time and give yourself a little bit of time to space it out and get that done. The wallpaper is going to be a little bit more of a chore, but you can go to the rental center, you can rent a steamer and get your kids involved. We had a show, which you can listen to our archives, you can look at our archives, also about making moving fun for kids, right, Randy?
Mm-hmm. And yep.
That's something else you might be able to get your kids involved in with helping you do this part of the sprucing up the house and doing the tips to make it a little bit more fun. Throw it in. Have a paint party. Oh, you could have that paint party, and if you're you could have almost like a paintball paint party if you, like, really cover up one room and get the stuff. Say there's a room to steam all the stuff off the paper, and you're like, okay, we're having a party, and bring up a couple of your friends, and they're going to help paint today, right? And you're not going to ruin the carpet or the wood floors or anything like that. Cover everything up. But could you imagine having a fun party real quick with the paint with the kids?
Yeah. And that would be a blast.
Then clear it out. Yeah, just make it fun. Make it fun, you know. Mm. But if you plan ahead of time, even with crazy schedules, you can do all kinds of things. So that's the thing. It's nice to put out some flowers that smell like, you know, fresh. Put on some cinnamon or use vanilla extract. Turn all the lights on. It's fine to put music on if it's soft music. I wouldn't recommend anything loud and evasive just because you don't know what their taste is. But all of that helps, and all of that is really nice and staged in your home. And, and these are just simple, no-cost tips that make for the person to feel comfortable, even if there's other items. And you don't want to say, oh, my gosh, there's no way I can take that paper off the wall. There's no way I can do this. If something's an absolute, it's going to cause too much stress, it's not going to work, then skip that. You know, we don't want you to get into something that's going to be way too much of a project, but most of these items are very easy to do, you know. And that pretty much wraps up our seven tips, actually, on going through and just tidbits that, you know, again, somebody may say this, of course I would do that, of course I would do that, but not everybody thinks to do these things.
No. And little things, just little things here and there, tweaks, and like you say, even walking across the street and just looking, you know, at your house. I've done that a couple times recently, just, you know, just because I'm, when you get in that mode of, because I think in the winter, right, you typically aren't as maybe on top of the yard work and whatnot because it's raining and cold. But when spring hits and you start working in the yard, you start kind of caring a little more about what it looks like. And I actually did that a couple of weeks ago. I walked across the street just to kind of look at what it looked like, you know, the whole picture. And you're right. You see things that you would never see just, you know, walking out of the house every day. So, and that's a very simple thing, but it's very, very helpful in terms of making, especially if you're getting ready to sell, because you want the thing to be, as we talked about, the curb appeal to be the number one thing that jumps out when people pull up. Because I think it's true in a lot of sales, but I'm guessing homes as well, that people typically, I mean, you know, make a kind of a judgment, right? Kind of a quick, ooh,
exactly.
I like this, I want to look more. Or, okay, we'll look, but I've already decided I'm not wild about it, you know. You know, and I think that curb appeal...
Yeah, when people go in and say it's really dirty, but maybe not dirty, like someone couldn't live in it dirty, but it's not spotless clean like it should be, right?
Yeah.
It turns them off, you know, it just turns them off, and they're not, yeah, they tend to just kind of, okay. You get a feeling about things, you know, so it's nice to do those things that make it pleasant, just keep it, let them flow with their personality, let them find the peace in the way they want to do it. And but literally, if you the way you just remember the way we live in a house and the way we sell a house are two different things, completely different.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Keep that in mind, and then know, okay, we're only going to grin and bear this for, you know, a few weeks, a month, 6 weeks. If we do it right, it's worth it to do it now, and then instead of later going, oh, didn't sell, oh, da 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 da, you know.
Yeah.
So, of course, pricing and marketing and all that other stuff is a different thing, but we were just talking about 7 tips today to help you sell your home, and that aren't expensive either. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. Very good.
Very good.
Cool. Very cool.
Move on to our second half of the show, and I'm looking forward to hearing Lynn.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, Realty Universal Radio, the show, and RealtyUniversal.com, the website for all kinds of information. As we always say, we kind of just surf the tops of the waves, so to speak, here in this first half in any topic. But you can, again, go to RealtyUniversal.com to get information on all of the above. And, of course, blogtalkradio.com /Realty Universal, and all of our archive shows are there. So, I mean, you're talking, what, is it 2.5 years now? Is that what we're approaching?
Yes, sir.
Wow. So there is a lot of material there. And again, blogtalkradio.com. And if you're listening, of course, right now, you're actually on that site, so you can kind of peruse the archive. So let's do that. Let's take a break. On the other side, Dr. Lynn Wicker is going to join us, and she's releasing a book that I went ahead and said it on Facebook just a little while ago, and I know I'm going to probably tick off some of my other author friends, but I said this is the best book you will ever read this year, period, is what I said, and guaranteed. So we'll be right back with the Dr. Lynn Wicker right around the corner.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you after consulting with the experts. We set you up to win.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
When I was in college in Psych 101 as a freshman, we took a test to determine our creativity. There were 17 in the class, and I remember it well because I finished at the bottom of the class. Here's what I did that really sparked the creativity of my life. I began reading, and I began filing. Somebody else's idea helped me to create an idea, and before long, I began to sense that there was creativity within me. I just realized that I had to, in the beginning, borrow it from others and then build on it. Oh, I love that. Borrow it and then build on it. So if you look at yourself not as a creative person, you can't be any worse than me. I was at the bottom of a class. 60 books later, I've learned to be creative, but it was a learned art in my life. So go inside. It's there. Pull it out.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
Wow, that's kind of, didn't even plan that, but kind of appropriate here as we round the corner into our second half. Again, Realty Universal Radio, the name of the program, and Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal. Of course, the first half, always real estate nuggets, and we really today covered, if you're just tuning in and you might be live, we talked about staging your home and seven tips for making your home more presentable, more, attractive, I guess, if you will, and ready to sell. So check it out. If you missed that, you can, of course, check it out on the archive. And I am, as we say on Maui, I'm stoked because with us is Dr. Lynn Wicker. And speaking of course, Dr. John Maxwell, she is a fellow Maxwell team member. And she's a host on Pono Radio at PonoRadio.org. And she's the director of the Florida State University Schools Incorporated and soon to be an author. Her book is about to be released, and it is Raising Kids That Succeed. And then the subline there, the topic is how to help your kids overcome life's limitations and think their way to lifelong successes. And Dr. Lynn Wicker, of course, been in the education arena for a long time, and so obviously this book is her sharing what she has learned and gleaned over the years. And Dr. Wicker, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Randy, Natalie. I am so thrilled to be here to talk about this book.
Well, I'm like I say, I'm really excited as well, I know radio hosts, we're supposed to say that. We're really excited to have you. Sometimes we mean it, sometimes, frankly, to be honest, not so much, but today I mean it, and because I had the opportunity and pleasure of reading the manuscript that you sent me, and this book, as we're going to get into it and spend some time, the good news is we have, a good 25 minutes or so. But I mentioned just before we came on live that when I read the manuscript, what I found was, I'm an empty nester. My kids are all in college and or out of college. And not that it's too late, because you can always, that's a whole other conversation. We're always modeling things and teaching our kids. But what I found was that your book really was speaking to me about my self-limiting beliefs, age 57, page after page, I began to be riveted because you were just like hammering home truth about how to overcome those things. So, it's both and. It's for kids, and it's obviously for the parents to get that squared away so they can model it for their kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You've really summarized very, very well what my thinking was. And 30 years in education, gosh, I've been a teacher, administrator, superintendent, and I don't even know, hundreds and hundreds of families, I would say. And then, you know, teachers and staff, and, of course, everybody's either a child or a parent. So, you know,
yep.
It's a lot of people's lives
yep.
that you're interacting with. And I guess about a year or so ago, in my own personal growth journey, which has just been an intense journey for me that I've just poured my heart and soul into my own personal growth, I began sort of reflecting and thinking about all of these things that I experienced as a parent and that I have been a part of, and all of these other families that I've had the privilege of being of touching over these years. And I just started letting it sort of bubble in my head and all of these things coming together. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of parenting resources out there. My goodness, you know, just Google search it or go to Amazon, or in my world in education, we're just bombarded with, you know, parent involvement tips and
yeah.
how to reach out to parents and how to help parents. And I thought, you know, there's been a lot of money and effort really kind of tied up in this topic, and yet over the years, I can't really say that I've seen a lot of amazing progress. I think things are almost worse, Randy, you know, with the challenges, the frustration that these young couples, and, you know, they're young to me, right? They're in their 30s and setting out on life and trying to figure this thing out. And so
yeah.
I thought, you know, I know that I have some information to share with people, and decided it just had to be written.
Yeah, I think the idea of and that's really, I think, what differentiates it really from all the other books out there is that that it is kind of a dual, in a sense, a dual purpose in that regard, and it really speaks to the you know, and I know there's all these sayings in education, right? But you can teach an old dog, you know, new tricks, if you will. And you know, if somebody is a lifelong learner, it doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, somebody gets a hold of your book, and like me, they might be an empty nester, but it's never. I love to say this too. It's one of my favorite sayings. It's never too late to live happily ever after. And
yeah.
and perhaps for a variety of reasons, somebody my age or whatever might be estranged from their kids. That's often,
yeah.
that's pretty typical, sadly. But, man, to get some healing and help and then, you know, share that maybe with your kids at a time when they need to hear it is, you know, is gold. And so let's kind of dive in, man. What are the two most important points you make in the book about parenting? Let's kind of whittle it down if
okay.
we can.
Okay. Well, the first couple of chapters, I really kind of dive in and make people start thinking about, you know, we use throw the term, I want to be a good parent. I hear that all the time. But, you know, I want to be a good parent, or my parents weren't that great. I want to be a great parent. I want to do this. But they don't know how. There's no formula. I talk about, you know, we joke all the time, we excuse ourselves for the mistakes we make by saying, well, you know, there's no parenting manual, you know, there's no manual to raising kids. And
yeah.
But really there is. There's we don't put that much thought into it, but I think the two biggest points right off the bat is that you have to be a thinker. You've got to allow yourself some time. And that is what is so missing in our lives now. We're busy, and we're moving, and we're doing and doing and doing, and we don't stop and make time to think and reflect back on decisions we've made as a parent. And did it go well? Did it not go so well? If I'm faced with this same problem or decision again, will I do the same thing again? And the power in that, Randy, is that many times I see people operating out of a sense of autopilot, you know, in their
yeah,
parenting.
Right. Yep.
And it can be an okay thing if what your autopilot is was a good and effective and positive and healthy approach. But a lot of us didn't have that experience, and we had some things that were kind of sewn into our lives that weren't necessarily the greatest way to think about something. So if we don't challenge ourselves, then we're never going to ever change. We just keep doing the same things over and over and over again. And the biggest challenge, and I really, you know, I don't cop out on this issue. I talk about it in the book is, you know, there are a lot of blended families. Many families are blended or single parent homes. And so as I wrote and literally, you know, as I say in the acknowledgments of the book, my mentor from afar, Wayne Dyer, talks a lot about writing from inspiration, and I can tell you that I really felt so inspired as I was writing because I wanted to be authentic. I didn't want it to be that might work well, maybe, but maybe not for me. I wanted every person who reads this book to see themselves clearly in it as someone who can benefit from it, even in whatever situation or challenge that they might find themselves in. So I talk about what do you do if you picked up this book and you want to really implement what's there, but maybe you share custody with another parent or you're in a step-parent situation. I talk about all those things that I think are really going to resonate with in today's family. And the second thing that I think is the most important part in the beginning is about being intentional. And I know when you first read the manuscript, you tagged a line for me that where I said you have to be intentional about being intentional.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So good.
It seems odd, but we just wander around sometimes. Here, there, you know, whatever. But this really requires us to not only do some thinking, but to get specific and intentional about what kind of actions we want, what beliefs we want, what attitudes we want. And first of all, as a person, you know, we bring everything we are as a person into every role we have. You know, if you've ever supervised people, if you've ever been in a management position, or if you've led a volunteer group at church or Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts or whatever it is, you soon find out that there are people who, you know, their attitude chases them everywhere they go. Everywhere they show up, there they are.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with who they are. It's the same thing in being a parent. So if I'm insecure or if I'm overbearing or, you know, if I have a lot of self-doubt, that's who I am as a person first, and that's who I'm going to transmit the thoughts, the beliefs, the attitudes, you know, onto my kids. So until you know them, until you sit down and take the time to become aware of what those things are, it just becomes very self-perpetuating.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does, and the awareness and the being intentional about, you know, that line about got to be intentional about being intentional. Another way, somebody once say, you know, stop dreaming and drifting. You know, we all dream, but then we all drift, and we don't, you know, we don't get intentional about. And you know, there's any number of folks, and our good buddy Dave Ferguson, of course, is probably when I think of, you know, guys who are in the business of kind of keeping us focused and intentional. He's a good guy, and there's lots of other coaches like that out there. And I know that's, you know, that's what you subscribe to, obviously, as well, being a part of the Maxwell team. But I know even within the Maxwell team, you know, I think sometimes they're the challenge with creatives, if you will, and people who might be multi-talented are that it's harder to focus. You know, there's an ADD factor, and you could speak to that being, you know, in your education and stuff and with people and parents and kids. And I don't know whether ADD or ADHD, you know, we joke around about that, but it's an actual diagnosis, right, that people have it. It's a clinical issue, right?
Absolutely. But I will tell you then, you know, that's a very real thing in schools. And I actually have some adult friends who you know, it's very real for them. It's not a joke. It's something that they really struggle with is getting, obtaining, and maintaining focus. But I'll also tell you, and when I lead mastermind groups with adults, I always make sure we spend some time talking about this thing that we've come to praise that has really been to our detriment, and that is multitasking. It's not our friend. You know, we women like to pin a badge on ourselves for being able to multitask, and you know, I guess men do as well, but for some reason women seem to really buy into that thing, and, you know, it just about killed me because as a school administrator, you know, you're like Pavlov's dog, right? The bell rings and you salivate. So you're getting an email, you're getting a text, you're getting a phone call, you've got these meetings. And so this is an epidemic in families even. And so they're going here and going there, and they're busy. Their business of their life doesn't allow what I'm advocating so strongly for in the book, which is finding that quiet, reflective time, calendaring it, scheduling it, because our schedule, our calendar makes up our daily life, our agenda makes up what we find to be important, and scheduling in those times, because you're exactly right, we've lost the ability to focus, and I think that's really contributed heavily to a lot of the disjointedness and in some case dysfunction that we're really starting to see.
And again, that any one of these topics we could spend literally an hour on. And I, there's so much more I want to ask you about that, but we'll have to maybe get you back. And I'll just say I've come to, you know, first of all, I do the time blocking thing that Dave Ferguson helped me with, which is, you know, you block stuff out and nothing interrupts that. And I actually have also come to the place where I will, I'll close out all my windows so that I don't hear the Facebook message, you know. I don't hear the tweet thing, you know, or I'm not discouraged.
Right.
If I do, I'll click on that, and then bam, I'm lost in some rabbit hole of somebody's story about what they're eating for lunch today, you know. So
exactly.
Let's continue. Again, Lynn Wicker, Dr. Lynn Wicker is with us, and she is the director of Florida State University Schools, Inc., and author of a book that's going to be released here very, very soon, Raising Kids That Succeed, How to Help Your Kids Overcome Life's Limitations and Think Their Way to Lifelong Successes. And as I've said before, this is a book, whether or not you have kids, you might by the title go, been there, done that, I'm now an empty nester. But I'm here to tell you, even though you're an empty nester, like myself, you know, you have self-limiting beliefs. And this, at the very least, will be a refresher for you, if not a life-changing thing, because Dr. Wicker really does address attacking self-limiting beliefs in a very practical, very real way. This isn't just a rah-rah book about what you should do, but it's how to do it, which I love about that. So the title, let's talk about that, Raising Kids That Succeed. And again, in this day and age, our culture, success, I guess, is being a finalist on American Idol or The Voice, you know. And that's what teenagers see as success, which is a whole other topic. But how do you define success in the book?
Interesting to me, being in education and interacting with parents, I found mentioned Wayne Dyer earlier. He actually wrote a book a number of years ago where he asked parents what they wanted for their children. And he made the statement that all of the things that they wanted were not really reflected in what they were putting emphasis on in their parenting. So there's this huge disconnect between if you ask a parent and they say, well, I want my child to grow up happy and healthy and responsible and those kinds of things, and yet when you look at the things that parents typically advocate for or get the most emotional about, their report card grades and whether they got on a particular team or their playing time in a sport, or whether they were graduated summa cum laude, or whether they were the valedictorian. So the kind of outcomes that parents often begin to use as their measuring stick for the success of their kids are not the things that they'll verbalize to you that they kind of sense is what they really want. So I think there's this mixed messages that are sent to kids and adolescents particularly. They're already confused, right, Randy? Adolescents, middle school kids, you know, we say that they run everywhere they go, and when they get there they hit somebody. That's pretty much a middle school student. So, you know, they're confused because they're put in these situations where their whole life is one big competition with everybody around them. So when you really get down to what is success, the kind of success I'm talking about, it's the kind of success that teaches them about how to think. And if they know how to think and they know how to address challenges, problems as they come up in their life, because, oh boy, they will,
exactly,
then that is a success. And I found it so interesting. A huge part of my book, since I have access to so many parents, I actually did an online parent survey of three or four little simple questions and had them kind of rate some things. And I got about 138 responses, which is pretty good. A wide demographic, so, you know, I think it's very very common, very representative of what you might find most anywhere, at least in the United States. And it was so interesting to me that their responses about what are they most afraid of when it comes to parenting, and then the next question that they were asked was, what did they fear? What are they most afraid of when it comes to parenting? And, you know, you would have thought from their responses that they had all gotten together and had a meeting, because they all fell into four distinct categories. And the first one was personal failures as a parent. They were afraid of that. They feared that. The second one was they were most afraid of their happiness of their child not being happy and their child not being a success in the future. They then had fears and were afraid of the safety and security of their child, something happening to them physically or emotionally. And then fourthly, the negative outside influences on their children or adolescents and teenagers. So I found that so interesting, and I spent a whole chapter in the book. And, you know, I kind of went back and forth on, like, how many of these actual statements from these parents that I want to include, and I found it so difficult to weed any of them out because they're so powerful. And I actually just listed them all and actually put it into the form of an activity that I actually asked the parent to do with these things, and sort of comparing their own fears and anxieties, what they're afraid of. And so when you read those things and you see the similarities, you kind of see that there's this common thread that runs through people's minds. And when you go back a step from that, it really comes from their sense of self. It's from who they are as people. So, you know, it just really struck me as this shared human experience that we all tend to have. You know, someone told me years and years ago that when you have a child, it's like watching your heart walk around outside your body.
Oh,
and
that's
good. Is so true. Isn't that true?
That explains, you know, that you know, when your first child, whatever their experience is, where there might be in harm's way, you know, and whether that's the first time they climb up a slide at a park, you're just freaking out because you're afraid they're going to fall, and then after the third kid, you're like, they fall, but they'll be okay. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You kind of get a little better with that, but
yeah.
Wow, the emotion and the intensity with which parents react to some of the things that their kids, adolescents, teenagers go through, it was really a lot of the stimulus for a lot of the information that I have in the book.
Yeah, well, and that's, and again, you and I are, I know you're a big, you know, obviously at Florida State University, I'm sure that's, you know, I know you're a sports fan, and that's a whole other conversation about Little League parents and that whole thing, but, you know, that I know you probably, again, we could do a whole lot of shows. So we've got about 3 minutes here, 3 or 4 minutes, and, man, I knew this time would fly by. Dr. Lynn Wicker with us, and again, we're talking about her book that's going to be released here very, very soon, Raising Kids That Succeed, How to Help Your Kids Overcome Life's Limitations and Think Their Way to Lifelong Successes. Let's try and sneak in one more question maybe if we can. So the real secret then, in the book, to parenting success. I mean, if you could boil it all down, what would be the secret sauce there?
The last chapter of the book, I talk about the five keys to raising kids that succeed, and so I'll just talk about the first one. So you'll have to get the book to get the others.
There you go.
So the first one, though, is probably, I call it the master key. So if you've ever had a huge key ring and to a lot of buildings, you've always got that very special one on there. That's the master key, because it's really the one that's the overarching and supporting mindset that a parent really has to have before they can move on to the other four keys. And here it is. Here's the master key. Are you ready?
I'm writing it. I'm ready.
Okay.
Ready.
Okay. No matter where you are in your parenting journey, it's never too late to change, to improve, and to learn. And confronting your limiting beliefs and replacing them with empowering beliefs, you'll be able to do the same thing for your kids.
Can we have older parents do that, the ones that are in their 70s and 80s? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It is true, and I know. Sometimes our older parents seem to be set in their ways, but you're right. It's I love that little saying we say in our marriage stuff. But it's never, it's never too late to live happily ever after, and along those lines, I think, we need to be lifelong learners, and when we say lifelong, we mean lifelong. And
That's right. So
it is never too late. I love that. Dr. Lynn Wicker, again, amazing. Now, how can folks the book is going to be released here. Tell us when and how people can maybe find the book.
Okay. Well, the book hopefully will be released. Everything, the manuscript has been approved. I have about 2 days that I'm turning a couple of things around for the publisher. They should have final approval to begin printing next week. So I would say probably in the next 3 to 4 weeks on the outside, it will be on Amazon. So I just ask for people to keep watch for it there.
Amazon, Amazon, the best place there. And, of course, you're on Facebook as well. People can find you there. And Twitter and all that. So just type in Lynn Wicker and you'll find her there. And Florida State University Schools, Inc. Go Noles! Yeah, baby!
Yay!
What do you think? Last question. It's a football question. Can they repeat? What do you think?
It's all in the head, Randy. It's all in the head.
There you go.
If they think they can, they will.
There you go. It's back to the book.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks, Dr. Wicker.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you.
Everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.